When you hear the fanfare, you know it is time for another film review with our movie critic, Matt Olien. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
You have been to see a horror film, The Candyman, or Candyman.
Just Candyman, yeah. Did very well opening weekend, $22 million at the box office. Maybe people are ready for some horror, for some frights. Nia DaCosta is the director. Jordan Peele producing, and he can't miss these days, whether he's directing or producing horror movies. Get Out, Us, now Candyman. So there was an original Candyman movie long time ago, which I didn't see.
Yeah.
So I really had no jumping off point here. But essentially, the plot follows Anthony McCoy. He is a artist in Chicago, played very well by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. And he lives with his girlfriend, played by Tiana Paris, and she's an art dealer. So she sort of curates his work and their boyfriend and girlfriend. And he's not quite sure what his next exhibit should be. Well, through some flashbacks and running into a very strange person, he hears about the Candyman legend. This supposed man who gives candy to kids, but he's evil and he kills and he comes back from the grave.
He's putting razor blades in the candy,
yes, exactly.
Right?
So this is an old case the Chicago cops were investigating. But if you've seen the trailer, Ashley, you know that the summoning involves someone looking in a mirror and saying Candyman five times.
Oh, I remember this as
yes.
a kid. I
so,
was too scared to do it.
So, of course, we're in a movie and you know someone's going to do it. Someone's going to look in that mirror and get things going and all heck is going to break loose from there. So it's a short film, about 95 minutes. Like this a lot. Didn't like it as much as Get Out and Us in terms of the Jordan Peele horror trilogy that we're underway right now. But Yahya Abdul-Mateen is really the star of the movie as he wrestles with the exhibit he's doing. He's fascinated by the Candyman legend. Is he going to work that into his new art exhibit? Is all heck going to be unleashed? A lot of interesting scenes. I like how some of the violence is handled. Sometimes we see the violence and sometimes we don't. It kind of happens off screen or you can hear it a la Cat People, which was an old film made in the 40s where you kind of saw the cats in shadows, like the panthers ripping up people's limbs, but you never quite saw it. So it's all kind of done by Nia DaCosta in sort of, ooh, we're hearing what's going on, but we're not seeing it all the time. And I like that effect a lot. She does it sometimes with the violence, and sometimes it's more direct. Like we're, you know, you're getting the blood and gore that horror fans like to see. But I also like a specific scene at a high school where everything is off camera and you're only hearing the bludgeoning going on. So I like that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's such an important part of, I guess, probably any director, but I feel like especially in suspenseful and horror and thriller kind of films, is the ability to know when to use the audience's own imagination against them.
Mm-hmm. It's a judgment call.
Yeah.
Directors make choices all the time. They make choices when they get different angles in a scene, and then they make choices in the edit booth, which, you know, a lot of films can be ruined or saved in the edit booth. So I like how she kind of mixed and matched. I did find her direction a little numb sometimes. Like I was kind of, I wanted to be shifted into fifth gear. And sometimes I felt we were in 3.5 or 4th gear as a horror film. So maybe not quite a masterpiece, quite a classic. Some of the plots a little hard to follow. I like how in some of the flashbacks we see like animated puppetry, like, oh, this Candyman in the 1920s was chased down by Chicago police, black man. And this is being told by a black man that Anthony McCoy encounters who kind of knows the legend. And so I like how they're doing kind of flashbacks through puppetry and animation. But some of the plot holes were a little tough to follow. Like all of a sudden characters show up and you're like, oh, is this a flashback? Hmm. Is this not a flashback? That was a little confusing in parts. But overall, I liked it. Not as good as Get Out and Us, but still a very effective horror movie that I think people like. Also, there's some messaging here, too, about gentrification of neighborhoods in Chicago, race issues in Chicago. Hmm. Those kind of come up as our main character kind of plods his way through this film. These kind of interesting social issues pop up as well as kind of like a side plot.
How does this film compare with the director's other work? She hasn't been around a long time,
no,
right?
No, she doesn't have a huge body of work. She did a film called Little Woods a few years ago that I liked, but this is probably her breakout, I'm guessing. This looks to be, you know, through Jordan Peele's producing, giving a up-and-coming black female director a big opportunity to direct a horror film that's going to make money. So this is probably her jumping-off point from smaller independent films.
That's a pretty big jumping-off point.
It is.
To debut and make $22 million in the first weekend, good for her.
It definitely is.
All right, well, for the Oscar trivia, I want to talk about other horror films that have only been a very few that have been nominated for Best Picture and only one that went on to win it. So I'll give you the year. You give me the film. 1973.
The Exorcist.
1975.
Jaws.
1991.
Silence of the Lambs, which won?
Which won, yes. 1996.
Ashley, 1996, horror movie.
I mean, it's possible you could more accurately call it a suspense film, the guy who sees dead people.
Oh, The Sixth Sense.
2010.
Ooh. Kind of gapping on that year. I'm going to give up
it's
on that one.
It's when Natalie Portman gets her.
Oh, Black Swan. Black Swan.
And 2017.
That was Get Out, yes.
All right. We've been to the movies with Madeline.